the morning. The first passage is Psalm 143 on page 623. And I'm just going to read it a little bit slower than normal because there's just so much in it. It's just a beautiful, it just, you know, resonates to the heart. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Now the next reading is from Ephesians 1, from 3 to 14 on page 1173. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. Please leave those two Bible readings open in your Bibles, if you've got them there in front of you, on page 623 in the Old Testament. Stick your finger in there or the bulletin in that one, and then the other one on page 1173. Or if you've got a service sheet, you've got them there already in front of you as well. Terrific. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as David has already brought before you, we thank you for your word and we ask of your Holy Spirit, Father, to move through us as we experience reading of your scriptures, thinking on you, May he guide us into truth. May we know him better. May we love him as we love you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live inside your believers. We ask now, Father, we ask now, Jesus, we ask now, Holy Spirit, God, three in one, that you, Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit will indeed remind us of who you are. Fill us with all joy and peace in believing. May we be glad that we've come apart and sighed in the day to listen to your word, to listen to you speak to us, to think on how good it is to live life your way and to know that this is all you're doing, Spirit of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he? God is very, very good. What's that again, Fiona? God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Well, so far in our thinking about what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed, we've affirmed we believe in God. We believe that he is Father, that he is the Almighty, there is no other like him, that he is creator of heaven and earth, and that we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who is our personal Lord, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, truly divine, born of the Virgin Mary, truly human, suffered under Pontius Pilate, a historical figure, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. He truly died on our behalf. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is now actually seated, completed his work on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. And from there, he will come one day to judge the living and the dead. Do you look forward to that day? Do you look forward to that day? I think each day as we go past, we can easily fall into the trap of just, yes, another day, another week ahead, and start doing plans. And we think, Jesus could come today. He could come tonight. Are we ready? Are we looking forward to that? Or will we be disappointed in knowing that, oh, I wanted to do this or I wanted to do that? The most important thing is to know that Jesus will come one day and take us to be with himself. And we need to, and part of the work of the Spirit is to prepare us for that very day. And so today we come to thinking about what it means to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, inside your bulletin, there should be another sermon outline inside it. Again, for those visiting us today, I draw your attention to the sermon outline. They're really great for helping you, I hope, to remember some of the things that were taught on the Sunday as you tie it in with maybe listening to it on the website. A sermon, going over it again, or also just to look down and see, oh, well, he's only got a couple more minutes to go in that time. If we actually choose to be open with each other, I think we'd say we don't know God the Holy Spirit as well as we do the Father and God the Son. I don't mean we don't know about him, who he is, and his work in our lives. I think we know a fair bit about him from what we've been taught of him in the Bible and have observed in our own lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. But what I mean is, I think that if we put God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit up in a line out, I think we'd sort of say, yes, I know God the, I know he's God the Father, and I know he's God the Son, and I know he's the Holy Spirit, but I don't know him as I know my Heavenly Father, and as I know my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in a way, that's okay. He is different to God the Father and God the Son in the same way that the Father is different to the Son and the Son to the Father, and yet one God with them and no less God. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that we observe God, the Holy Spirit, we experience him in a different way to the others, even though he is equally God as to the others. The theologian John Wesley said Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and then I will show you a man that can comprehend the triune God. Understanding God is the highest aspiration any human being can ever even attempt to comprehend, because God is infinite in power, infinite in presence and knowledge. The complete understanding of him is simply beyond our ability, let alone to preach a sermon, one in 20 minutes on. As the heavens are higher than the earth, Isaiah 55 verse 9, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord. And yet, though our Lord be higher than the heavens and his ways higher than ours and his thoughts than our thoughts, God desires for us to actually know him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4. I think our difficulty has started with the way we were taught to pray. There's nothing wrong with the way we've been taught to pray. And in fact, I think it's a really great way to be taught how to pray. When asked, Jesus taught his disciples and asked to pray to God by praying, "Our Father who lives in heaven, hallowed be your name." In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus doesn't mention the Holy Spirit. He seems to be left out when talking to God. As Anglican Christians, our common prayers shape us to pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we hopefully will discover, this is a perfectly good and right and biblical way to pray. In fact, the Holy Spirit would give the tick of approval. And though we read of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the third person of the Trinity seems to be the silent person over in the corner of the room in our conversations with God, while God the Father and God the Son go about discussing and carrying out their will here on earth as it is in heaven. We believe the Holy Spirit is doing something, but it's difficult to actually put our finger on it, on what it is. Would you agree? Would you sort of agree? Who is he? What does it mean to say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit"? Who is the Holy Spirit? Firstly, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it, or a force, or merely a presence. He is addressed in the Bible and by our Lord Jesus with the personal pronoun as Jesus is, and the Father with he. John 16, verses 12 to 15. "I have much more to say to you," Jesus says, "more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Firstly, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it or a force, or merely just a presence. With the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit has also always been. The first mention of him in the Bible is in the opening verses of the Bible in Genesis 1, verse 2. In connection with creation and in the bringing mankind into existence, verse 26 of chapter 1. As the one who inspires his chosen people to make God known through the Old Testament, Exodus 31, Isaiah 61, and to equip and enable them for the task, Judges 51, Ezekiel 36, Zechariah 12, and so on. Though given and taken away in the Old Testament, we read that he was promised to actually dwell in all believers, Joel 2, 28. He was agent of the Father for the Son through his earthly life from the moment when, as we read in the Creed, as the Creed says, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1. When, like a dove, he descended on him in his baptism, Luke 4. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus taught, healed, and offered himself in sacrifice for us, Hebrews 9. The Spirit now acts as Jesus' agent through us, his believers. He is the Spirit of Christ in us, Romans 8 and 1 Peter 1. He is described by Jesus as another comforter, John 14, a helper, a supporter, an advocate, an encourager. He glorifies Jesus. He takes what is Christ's and declares it to us, John 16. He is involved in a person's recreation, our being born again as God's children, John 3, verse 5, and he's engaging with Nicodemus, saying, he says in a way to the person who hears the gospel, as he has done to us, come to me, follow me. In our conscience, as we hear the gospel with the inner ear of faith, as one person's put it, the Spirit is standing behind us, as it were, to throw light over our shoulder onto Jesus, constantly urging us, go to him, deal with him. And so we did, and we dealt with him, and we are truly Christian and truly glad we've come to him. The Holy Spirit continually shows Jesus to us in his word, teaching us and guiding us, 1 John 5. He convinces us that Jesus of the gospel, of the New Testament, really exists and is what he is. He is, for us, our salvation. He unites us to Christ by faith, and he indwells in us, and he's changing us into his likeness, sanctifying us by causing us the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, Galatians 5. And he's gifted us so as to build up Christ's body, the church, in the world, to serve one another and to make Christ known to the world, John 15 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. And when we doubt and we have our fears and we don't believe God is nearby, he is the one who assures us that as believers we are God's children and heirs with Christ, Romans 8. Who is the Holy Spirit? To what can we compare him, or to who can we compare him? I remember in the 1980s, you may remember back then, those of you who were born before, around that time or before, BHP, remember? BHP used to have as its catchphrase, what was its catchphrase? Strong at the quiet, or the strong, or the quiet achiever. Yeah, the quiet achiever. The company quietly working behind the scenes to help develop our country's vast resources. In some way, that is who the Holy Spirit is. A quiet achiever, behind the scenes, quietly working to make Christ known, and in us to make us more and more like Jesus, to the glory and praise of God the Father. Some have described him and his work as that of one like a spotlight, and you may have heard this illustration before, a spotlight in the church grounds, hidden in a bush somewhere, out of sight, but lighting up the cross on the top of the church building in the dark of night. Not seen, out of sight, but highlighting Christ to the glory of God the Father. Our two Bible readings this morning are a help to discovering who the Holy Spirit is, his work, and I encourage you in your Bible studies during the week or in your quiet times to do the little Bible study with this in mind. It's on the back of your outline, don't need to look at it now, but I encourage you to do that. Our two Bible readings this morning do help us to discover who he is, his work, and what it means to believe in him. Both Psalm 143 and Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14, tell of the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. If you've got them there before you, turn with me to them. We're being told, as we read, who God is, what he has done and is doing in their lives. You may remember how Kay read it to us. You may remember what God promised to do. Both are prayers to God. In Psalm 143, it's a prayer during a time when the believer seemed very far away from God. Then in Ephesians 1, a prayer when the believer seemed very close to God. Eventually, both believers acknowledge the person and work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. In verse 10 of the Psalm, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." And in verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 1, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Though they don't directly mention it, all that they were able to say, do and say of God, to him and of him, was the prompting of the Holy Spirit, was the prompting work of God the Holy Spirit in them, behind the scenes, so to speak, focusing them not on him, but on the person and work of God the Father and God the Son, to the glory of God. I encourage you to read those two passages during the week with that in mind. These people couldn't have prayed this, couldn't have said this, without the Spirit actually moving and doing that in them. It's obvious they believed in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but how do I know the Holy Spirit is living in me? Unfortunately, because of a want for the spectacular, for some to believe in God, to have some spectacular experience, and for others, the need to authenticate their belief above another, an emphasis has been placed, sadly, by those on what is not the primary work and person of the Holy Spirit, on visions, out-of-body experiences, speaking in tongues, prophecy and healings. These all are gifts, but they're not the primary work of the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Matthew 7, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Matthew 7. How do I know I believe in the Holy Spirit? How do I know the Holy Spirit is living in me? Firstly, because God tells us so in his word. And the Christian takes God at his word. Luke 11. "So I say to you, ask," Jesus said, "and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers has asked for his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him, but give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things, good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Have you asked him? If you've become a Christian, you have him already. Secondly, we will be more conscious and concerned about living life differently to those who are around us who are not Christians. We'll observe a desire to want to know God more, to want to please him, to seek the forgiveness when we sin, to get involved in the life of the church, to want to help others, to want others to hear about Jesus, to want to meet with other Christians, to long for heaven, and everything will be right one day. We long for these things, Romans 8. Thirdly, we will observe, and others will too, that our thinking, our behavior is changing. Not overnight, but over time. We're becoming more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more forbearing, more kind, more good, more faithful, more gentle, and more self-controlled. Galatians 5:22 and 2 Corinthians 3. And fourthly, we'll observe that what we are good at doing, be it a gift, a skill, a profession or a trade, we will want to use it to make Christ known and to glorify God in the life of the church and in connecting with our community. 1 Corinthians 12. But I'm not out there kind of person, you might be thinking. I'm no Billy Graham kind of guy or girl. You don't have to be. Some will be, most won't. If you're the kind of person who is quiet, not up front, but quietly going about living your life God's way, and without wanting any attention to yourself, praise or reward, not wanting your right hand to know what your left hand is doing when it comes to giving to others, but getting on with serving others, serving Christ, wanting him to be known, you are being very, very much like the Holy Spirit. You are being very, very much like God. You are being very, very much like Jesus, even if you don't think it. God knows. What then are the signs that Christ's self-effacing spirit is at work in you? It's not mystical raptures, nor visions and supposed revelations, nor even healings, tongues and apparent miracles, for Satan can produce all these things. The only sure sign are that the Christ of the Bible is acknowledged as Lord and Saviour, that he is trusted, that he is loved for his grace and served for his glory, and that the believers actually turn from sin to life of holiness, obedience and service, which is Christ's image in his children. So when we say as Christians, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our meaning should be that we believe in a personal relationship with the living Christ of the New Testament to be a reality, which through the Spirit I have found and trust you have too. Second, that I am open to be led by the Spirit who now indwells me into Christian knowledge, obedience, and service. And I expect to be so led each day. And thirdly, that I thank him, that I thank the Holy Spirit as the author of my assurance that I'm a child and heir of God the Father, being made more and more like God the Son, Jesus Christ, in word and deed, in preparation to meet him one day face to face. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Truly it is a glorious thing to believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen.